Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome to the GMSO Standing Selection Committee call on Monday, 15th of May, 2017. On the call today, we do have Yul Helsingas, Maxime Alzoba, Osvaldo Novoa, Ponsulat, Alege, Susan Kawaguchi. We have no apologies. From staff, we have Marika Konings, Emily Barabas, and myself, Michelle D. Smider. As a reminder to please state your name so it appears clearly on the transcription. Thank you ever so much, and over to you, Marika.
Thank you, Emily. That was very helpful. So this is Susan, and there's a little bit of noise going. I'm actually not at home today, so I'm in a hotel room. It seems there's a little noise outside, so hopefully that's not going to affect the call. So I think that the first thing we need to do, well, let me back up a little bit and say thank you very much for all the hard work all of you did on the RDS review team selection. And I can see that there was a lot of hard work and thought put into that, and I appreciate the fact that you selected me, which I'm really looking forward to that. The first thing I think we need to do is confirm the chair. I am more than willing to step forward and chair the committee, but if there's others that would like to step forward for that, that would be great too. So how would you like to proceed with that? Any ideas? And I do note from the Marika. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Marika. On the note of leadership, and some people already pointed out that in the charter there currently isn't any specific provision for how that should be dealt with. It refers back to the working group guidelines, which basically indicated it's up to a working group, or in this case, the standing committee, to decide how you would like the leadership team to look, and there's a lot of flexibility in that regard. And just to note that was also something that specifically came up in the charter discussion, because as some of you may know or may recall, originally the composition of the SSC was slightly different, and it also foresaw a role for the GNSO chair as part of the committee, and in that setup, that person would have served as the chair, but as they decided to change the composition, then there was a conscious decision made by the council that the SSC should decide itself how it would like to organize itself. And as you've noted, that can be done through chair, vice chairs, co-chairs. It's really up to the group to decide how to do that. But I think, as you've also noted, this is a relatively small group. So you may also want to consider, is it really necessary to have a very heavy kind of leadership structure? Although, you know, if I can speak from a staff perspective, having at least a chair and a vice chair, or a chair and a co-chair is always helpful, especially for continuity, especially if someone's absent or on vacation. So there's always someone to step in. So I just wanted to share that.
I agree. And I do think that, you know, as we go forward, some of this work may be lightweight, but then I think at other times we will have quite a bit to do. So the responsibility comes and goes, and I do note that several people have agreed that that I continue as chair is fine with them, which is, I thank you for that support. And also note that Jules and Maxim both volunteered to be either vice chair or co-chairs, and we need to decide which term we, you know, describe this as a co-chair or a vice chair. I'm not sure. In my mind, there's not a whole lot of difference in those. It's just what we decide to call this. And I do, you know, with everybody's workload in the GNSO in general and ICANN, even though this is a smaller group, I'm not opposed to having two vice chairs or co-chairs. Due to, you know, you just never know what the circumstances are and who gets called away to do something else within the community. So if there's no opposition to having Yulf and Maxim both act as vice chairs or co-chairs, then I think that's actually a good situation to, you know, be entering into here with this committee, since we will be moving forward with other review team selections. Another ATRT is coming up soon, and we may need, especially with the summer vacation schedule and things, we may need that extra backup. So does anybody have any viewpoints they'd like to discuss on the vice chair then? And it looks like Yulf is typing. Okay, and Osvaldo, he's fine with the two vice chairs. And that's true. If Yulf, if we all three decided to that we needed our time was needed somewhere else, that would be a problem. So can we just move forward with myself as chair and Yulf and Maxim as vice chairs? And Marika, is there a formal process we need to follow? I should have asked you that earlier, other than everyone just agreeing on the phone call.
It probably would be good just to send out a note to the mailing list so that those are that are not on the call also have an opportunity to either express support or disagreement. But I need to double check. I think it's only actually for PDP working groups where there is a requirement for the council to also confirm the leadership. But I don't think it's in this case applicable. But I'll double check on that.
Okay, that sounds good. So let's just move forward today as if this is most likely going to happen, and then we will send it out to the mailing list as you recommend and get everyone's input, hopefully, quickly on this. So I think we can move on to the next. So today what we need to start talking about is, and thank you for switching the slide. Oh, Yulf, you have your hand up.
Yes, I was just wondering if it actually would make sense to sort of get a quick feedback on how the RDS thing went, because as you know, we actually picked more candidates than we were supposed to, under the understanding that the sort of ACHS would be able to agree on that. I think that might have an impact on our next round, so it would be just good to know a feedback on where we stand on that.
Thank you for reminding me about that. I did ask Marika about that this morning, and SOs and ACs have not met yet. They tried to schedule a call for, I think, last week, and weren't able to get everyone's calendars coordinated. So they're hoping for this week or next week. One of the points that may be in our favor for having more than three, especially four, maybe even the whole seven, who knows, is that the CCNSO decided not to provide any candidates for the RDS review team. So that would leave three seats open, and we're hoping that, James can convince the other SOs and ACs that since this is a GNSO-centric review, that we, the GNSO should receive those other three seats. So, but he is very well informed on the arguments to be made and has, well, you were on the last GNSO call, that, he will do his best. So. Oh, okay. So, and Marika is noting that they didn't feel they could confirm any nomination without knowing the exact scope of the RDS RT. Marika, does that, if there was that doesn't leave them an ability to reserve those seats in any way and fill them later, does it?
Yeah, this is Marika. So I'm not exactly sure what the status of the letter of the CCNSO is, because they didn't really put a specific ask in it. But to me, it almost sounded as well that it was kind of like, look, if you clarify the scope, in that case, we may be able to confirm nominations. Because I don't think I'm trying to find the letter, but I don't think they explicitly said either that, everyone else should go ahead and they're just not participating. So I think it wasn't, at least to my mind, when I read the letter, it wasn't clear. And I found the letter now, so I can post a link in the chat so people can review it for themselves and decide what they believe may happen. So I'm guessing it's also an issue that will need to be discussed by the chairs, whether indeed participation will go ahead without the CCNSO, or whether indeed there is a need to have further details on the scope that may result in the CCNSO being able to appoint members. I'm not sure. So the link is there. You can review it. I don't believe there has been any response yet from the ICANN board to that letter. And noting as well, apart from the CCNSO, I think there's also the ASO and the ASAC that actually didn't even have people that requested their endorsement. So those slots are, of course, potentially available as well.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know on the ESSEC and the other one. So I did read that letter, and I guess maybe I was being too hopeful. And I shouldn't say hopeful, but I do think that the GNSO candidates, we had a great slate of candidates, and I think that having more GNSO members on the review team would be good for the review team as a whole. And so I guess I maybe was too hopeful in the way I was reading that, because I just assumed, since they weren't providing candidates, didn't hit the deadline, that maybe that then, therefore, they just weren't moving forward with any candidates. So that'll be interesting. Oh, okay, until the scope of the review is defined. Thanks for joining, Renata. So I'm not sure we can answer any more questions about the RDS review team at this point, but we'll keep you updated as soon as there's anything else. So. And I'm not sure, I think in my own personal viewpoint, I'm not sure that the board can really step in and define the scope of the RDS review team. That would be my viewpoint, at least, that the RDS review team can take some guidance, but they will need to define the scope themselves. So, okay, so on to the Empowered Community and the GNSO representative for the Empowered Community. And can we scroll? Do we have individual scrolling? There we go. Thank you. So at this point, what we need to do is develop some criteria and the process for the selection of the GNSO representative. And so I don't, today's meeting does not mean that we have to make a decision about anything, but we do need to come up with criteria. At the GNSO Council meeting on Thursday, I did a little bit of an exchange with James about this role, and he's hoping that there will be time in AOB to discuss this with the council and to get start to develop some of the criteria from the council's point of view, so which we'll need to, let them take the lead on that. But I think it would be helpful, too, if we could also give some thought to what that criteria should be and exactly what our viewpoint as a committee is on, who should be the representative for the empowered community from the GNSO. And Maxim, please go ahead.
Maxim Arriba, do you hear me? Okay, I hope you hear me.
Yes, we do.
Actually, after reading the document about what the Committee of Five is going to do, I have two questions. Yeah, actually three, but we'll try to stick to two. One of the things they need to do is potentially deal with the public comments forums. And the question is,
Maxim,
is it enough?
Maxim?
Maxim, yes.
We're having a little bit of difficulty understanding you. Could you maybe, if you just were a little bit farther away from your mic, and it would be clearer, we're hoping.
Okay. Is it better this way?
A little better. Let's try.
Okay. The question is, one of the things this team of five persons is going to be moderating community forums, which might be required to be called under the bylaws. The question is five persons enough for that, for moderation of community forums? In situations where some topics are of high importance, we could expect flame of like 200 messages per day, is the first question. The second is, yes.
Yeah, I think we're all having a hard time hearing, understanding.
I adjusted my mic. 1 second.
Okay.
Do you hear me better?
It's a little better.
Okay, I will type in.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, I will drop out and type in. Thanks.
Okay. Sorry about that. Sometimes, it's with the conference calls, it's hard to hear. So he's going to type his questions. And Maxim, if you would like the operator to dial out to you, we could do that also. So while Maxim is typing, does anybody else have any thoughts on the criteria we should be considering for this position? And thank you, Marika, please go ahead, Marika.
Yeah, this is Marika. I just wanted to put up the next slide before you dive into discussing criteria. It may just be helpful just to spend a little bit of time on the role of the Empowered Community Administration and more specifically as well the role of the GNSO representative, because that may also facilitate a discussion on what the criteria should be for that person. So, Sun, I don't know if you want to take people through or you would like me to take people through.
Yes, please, Marika, if you don't mind. I'm sure you get the nuances of this better than I do. So,
I'll give it a go. So I think as you may all be aware, that the Empowered Community is came into force after all the work that took place on the transition and is now existing as a non-profit association that consists of the three ICANN supporting organizations, namely the Azure supporting organization, the Country Code supporting organization, and the Generic Names supporting organization, as well as the Large Advisory Committee and the GAC, the Governmental Advisory Committee, which are each called as so-called decisional participants. So those five decisional participants together, they comprise the empowered community. The only role that the empowered community has is to exercise the specific rights and obligations that it has under the ICANN bylaws. And it's very specifically spelled out how it needs to act and what timelines are associated with that as part of the ICANN bylaws. So as part of that, you have the Empowered Community Administration. And that is basically the administrative body through which the decisional participants act collectively. So each decisional participant is required to designate a representative to the EC administration. But it's very important to understand that those individual representatives only act as directed by decisional participants and in accordance with the process that each such decisional participant has spelled out. So I think it's really important to understand that it's purely an administrative role. This individual is more of a conduit to communicate any decisions that are taken by decisional participants to the Empowered Community Administration. So this is not a role in which there's any kind of negotiation or discussion or where there is leeway for that individual to interpret or define whatever the decisional participant may think. So as such, and I think I have another slide here, from a GNSO perspective, so as I said, the way the GNSO has discussed and decided to take its role in the Empowered Community is through the GNSO Council. So any decisions are expected to be taken through GNSO Council motions, which is the way in which the GNSO Council makes decisions. Of course, you know, having the input and votes from all its stakeholder groups and constituencies. And some of those decisions that are expected to be taken through the GNSO Council are the receiving and sending of EC notifications required by the bylaws. So again, these are decisions that the GNSO Council would take and where the representative is then expected to communicate that. So it's really a question of forwarding that information. The person may also be involved in moderating community forums that may be required to be called under the ICANN bylaws. There's a tallying of decisions of decisional participants related to the exercise of EC powers. And in the community mediation initiated, where the board is alleged to have refused or failed to comply with a valid decision of the EC under the bylaws, designated individuals to represent the EC in the mediation. And again, I think here in the designating of individuals, those are some of the items that are currently still on the discussion, but it's not unlikely that that is also a process that the SSC would be involved in. So I think that's in short the role of the individual representing the GNSO. It's intended to be a purely administrative role and function, because that's the role of the EC administration, and the person is indeed directed to communicate any decisions that are taken by the GNSO Council in relation to any items that are for the decisional participants to consider. I don't know if there are any questions. I see Maxime has his hand up.
It's Maxime Ozo, but do you hear me better this time?
Yes.
Okay, I have two questions. The first is about the role in moderating community forums. I not feel that 5 persons is enough to monitor and moderate community forums in case of, like, lot of disagreement is presented there. I think we could face situation with hundreds of messages daily in cases of high disagreement. Is the first question, like, if 5 is enough? And the second question is about the, it's more mode than a question, about connection criteria. One of the roles is going to be to oversee the sales of property or something. It was in the document they sent to us. And thus I suggest that one of the qualifications is going to be at least basic understanding of financial operations. Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Your questions weren't completely clear to me, but I think on the first you were asking about the role of the moderating the community forums. I actually was I don't understand that role, that part of the responsibility of the task either. So, Marika, you had you have your hand up. So hopefully you have all the answers.
I wish I did. This is Marika, but unfortunately I don't. I know that that is one of the items, and there's actually a first community forum is scheduled for Johannesburg. I think it's on a specific change to the fundamental bylaws that's being proposed. I think following a board conversation, I think it relates to one of the board committees that was originally designated to deal with certain items, and I think the board has decided to create a new committee to better be able to deal with any requests that may come under that. But that requires a change to the bylaws. So they're actually having a first forum in Johannesburg, and I think they're actually currently discussing what that should look like. So I think it's not 100% clear how that may work in practice. So I'm happy to have a closer look at the bylaws to see if any specific details are provided there with regards to the role of the representative in that community forum. But as far as I know, I don't think that is greatly detailed yet. And I think that is something that probably Johannesburg will be a bit of a trial where I guess the community will need to decide how that would actually look and what roles and responsibilities the different participants have. And sorry, I didn't catch the second question. So I don't know, Maxime, if you can maybe type that in the chat.
I didn't want to leave the first question because I'm confused, and I thought it was a good question. So I guess when I first read this, I was thinking monitoring instead of moderating. So unfortunately, that's where my brain went, was I just thought maybe the community forums, and I also was thinking community forums was more of a thread. So a community forum, just to back up a little bit, would be an actual meeting or some sort of it could be online, obviously, but it would be where some sort of meeting brought forth by the empowered community to discuss a new issue. Is that it? A change to bylaws or something? Is that what the forum is described as?
This is Marika. I'm just looking through the bylaws, and I think there are several instances in which there is references to a community forum. I think there are different actions for which such a community forum may be needed. I think one of them is indeed in relation to changes of fundamental bylaws, but I think also, for example, actions such as removal of board members. I think that's another one. I mean, here I found a reference. This is, for example, the approval action community forum, which relates to specific approval actions that need to be taken. But here it clearly says that approval action community forum shall be conducted via remote participation methods such as teleconference, web-based meeting room, and or such other form of remote participation as the EC administration selects, and or only if the approval action community forum is held during an ICANN public face-to-face meeting. So there's basically the option of, indeed, if there's an ICANN meeting, to do it then, but it can also be done through teleconference or web-based facilities. And it also states there that, and I think I did paste that in the chat, or post that in the chat, that the EC administration shall manage and moderate the approval action community forum in a fair and neutral manner. But it doesn't there, for example, explicitly state how that would work. As I said, I'll have a look at that and seeing if in other places there's more detail provided there. But again, I think the idea behind it is, or at least reading this, is that the EC administration is, again, the administrative body making that session possible, but it's really then for the decisional participants and the broader community to participate in the forum. It's not for the EC administration to make any kind of decisions. That, again, goes through the decisional participants. I think this is the community forum is an opportunity for public consultation on certain decisions. But as I understand it, any input of that will then, again, need to be considered by the decisional participants who will then inform their representative of how to act in the subsequent steps.
Okay, that's really informative. So, but there would be, there's five representatives to this, one of which is the GNSO. So it all five would act as moderators in this forum. Is that what you envision?
Listen, Rick, I think that is something for the EC administration to decide. So,
okay. And
again, I think the Johannesburg meeting will be a bit of a test case to see how they will manage that. You know, part of the challenge will be that I think many of the groups haven't appointed yet their permanent representative. So, again, it may also be something where all of the representatives will come back to the respective groups to say, well, this is what's being proposed on how to manage that. You know, does anyone have any concerns or comments they want to make about that? So, again, it's one of those areas where it hasn't happened before, so it's not yet clear how that will work in practice. And to respond to Renata's question, she's asking if the EC rep will also approve stuff on the community forum without going through the GNSO council. No, I don't think so, unless we're talking, admin, you know, who sits on the main table or who will speak first. I'm guessing those kind of discussions, which are more of an administrative nature, is something that will be decided within the EC admin. But anything of a substantial manner will need to come from the decisional participant, and for the GNSO, that will need to go through the GNSO council.
Okay, that's good clarification. And then Maxim has typed his question, so I'll just read that out aloud, or his statement, about basic understanding of financial operations for candidates into the five. They will need to be able to approve a fundamental bylaw and article amendments and asset sales. To approve asset sales, it's good to be aware of basic ideas in finance. So I think your point, Maxim, is that we should make that part of the criteria that this representative from the GNSO to the empowered community should have some financial understanding, at least basic understanding of finance. So, and Maxim, you still have your hand up. Was that another question? And you're typing in, at least we need to ask. So let's put that on the list of things. And hopefully we can ask some of these questions that we come up with in the next GNSO meeting also to get, because James has been participating. And Marika.
Yeah, this is Marika. If I can just respond to Maxime's comment, because I don't think that is correct. Even though it says that the EC administration needs to approve, it's because it approves through the decisions of the decisional participants. So the only role that is there for the EC representative is to communicate whatever the GNSO council decided with regards to approving fundamental bylaws, article amendments, and asset sales. It's not for the representative there to make any kind of determination or assessment or any kind of opinion on what he or she may think about it. It's a purely an administrative role that's intended to communicate as a really passing on whatever the GNSO council has decided on that.
And this is Susan for the record. Wouldn't you feel like if there was a financial discussion of some sort that this representative would have to understand that enough to come back to the GNSO and explain the discussion at least? I mean, this is a two-way street communication process, I would think. So, I mean, do you not envision any discussion at all on the between the EC reps for these administrative tasks? If the GNSO's decision was no, we're not going to agree to whatever the issue was, but all four of the other ones, reps or the SOs, ACs, had came in with a vote, yes, we want to proceed with whatever the issue was. There has to be some communication back. So are you not envisioning any discussion at all on the when the EC reps meet?
Yeah, this is Marika. That is my understanding. My understanding is that it's purely at that point a tallying of decisions. So the admin will make a count. Every rep will raise their hand if, you know, their group voted in favor or against. And whatever comes out of that, that's the decision. And at least I think as it's envisioned on paper and as a result of the conversations, I think as part of the transition-related work, it was purely envisioned as an administrative body. However, of course, in practice, and especially because we're still in a learning phase, and it would be really helpful to have James's input. Although, you know, from what I've seen, I think that has been relatively little communication to this stage, or little engagement at an EC admin level to see indeed what he may or he believes what would be the requirements or what is needed. But as I said, I think from what is in the bylaws and the original inception, the idea is that it's purely in this administrative role, no discussion or substantive discussion happens there. All of that would need to go back to the decisional participants to consider and further deliberate.
Okay, so that's very good to keep in mind, that it's simply, just remembering that this is more administrative and not decision-making. So that, to me, that would make it the criteria easier to figure out for this. So, and Osvaldo pointed out in the chat that EC representative is just the way of communication between the EC and the GNSO Council. And another one, a question is, do we have any former ambassador for this role? Not sure exactly what you mean by former ambassador. Do you want to clarify that? Okay. I'm typing liaison. Oh, you mean really an ambassador. I'm sorry. In my opinion, this role would have to come from the council and James acting as the EC rep right now may be the appropriate level, because whoever is representing the GNSO Council to the EC must be fully aware of everything and all the decisions the GNSO Council has made, so that they understand all of the background. So it would make sense to make sure that this role is selected from the GNSO Council and maybe even from the leadership team. So we would, maybe that's one of the criteria we need to discuss, is that it is someone, either the chair of the GNSO Council or one of the two vice chairs. And so the only concern I have with that is that those three roles are pretty, they are tasked with a lot of responsibility right now, so we don't want to overburden them. But I do know that, our current leadership team for the GNSO Council is very well-versed in everything that we're doing. And sometimes I'm amazed at how well-versed they are, so. And Osvaldo was saying that anyone with a, you're just trying to read from the chat. a fairly intelligent person with good communication skills would be ideal. That's true, but I do think they have to be extremely immersed in the GNSO Council work. And Maxime, this is the first time. Well, so Marika, maybe you can confirm that, you know, James has been participating on the as the GNSO Council EC rep, and have they met and done much at this point?
This is Marika. I don't believe so. I've seen a couple of emails, and I think indeed the main communications they've had so far is, for example, in relation to confirmation of bylaw appointees. So the GNSO selected a new person to take one of the GNSO seats. The ALAC confirmed their appointment, and again, that's also something that the EC admin just needs to take that decision and pass it on. So again, it's conveying decisions that have been taken by some of the decisional participants. In addition, I think they've started the conversation, or at least raised awareness around the fact that, and again, it's staff that has put that on the agenda, that indeed this community forum is coming up for Johannesburg. So they will need to have a conversation around that, how that will actually work in practice. But as far as I know, I haven't seen anything yet concretely either around there on how they intend that to work and operate. And at least from what I've seen, I think for many, this is indeed a first test case. And the assumption is that this is a relatively straightforward action. It is a good test case because, of course, there are community forums for much more complex issues or much more controversial issues. So I think that the hope is by having a test case on a relatively straightforward issue may set the framework then for how it would be dealt with in future scenarios. And actually what I just put up on the screen, which I think is also linked to this conversation, is, and again, it's one of the reasons why James is currently filling that slot. And I think if you look at the representatives on there, I think for all groups apart from the CCNSO, it is actually the chair of the SORAC that is taking the role, whether it's on a permanent or interim basis, of the representative to the EC administration. As the way that the bylaws are written, it basically specifically refers to the chairs or such other persons as may be designated as being that representative. So again, from the GNSO side, as an interim appointment was needed on a relatively short notice, the council decided that the chair would be picked for that interim position. But of course, there's a need for a permanent representative, and that's again what the SSC has been tasked with, and to make a determination. And again, as you read this language, and staff put that forward as well as one of the questions, I think there are different ways in which you can read this, whether the chair is the default and only if someone else is selected, then is when someone else comes in place, or whether it's the other way around, that it's anyone can be appointed, but unless no one can be found, then is the chair who is the backup. And again, I think it's something where you may want to discuss how you want to approach that team. I just know that I think from the CCNSO side, they're actually ones of the ones that have appointed a CCNSO council member, but that was only after the CCNSO chair indicated that she was not interested or willing to take on this specific role. And then I think they went for a call for volunteers for CCNSO council members. Again, assuming that that was also a conscious decision, as I'm assuming as well that on the CCNSO side, it's the council also who makes is the conduit for making decisions as a decisional participant. But I think for all the other groups, it's currently either the chair of that SOEC, whether either at an interim or a permanent basis.
Okay, that's interesting. So there's been several, lots of discussion in the chat, and Osvaldo was saying that, you know, because we don't know the workload of the EC representative, I would prefer a person with no position in the council. Yul suggested a former council member. So that could be all, we could add all of these to the list of criteria that we're brainstorming about. And Maxime, you know, you asked if who's in charge of assessment of the GNSO candidates for the EC seat. Is it just GNSO Council, or is it SSC and then GNSO Council? My viewpoint is it's the SFC would work with the GNSO Council to develop the criteria, which would be approved by the GNSO Council. But I think it always goes back to the GNSO Council, and then once we have candidates, then we would, if we have more than one candidate, then we would decide on that, on the candidates, but it would still go back to the GNSO Council. So, yes, exactly. So oh, Marika has responded better than I did there. So on the how it works. So we're just a committee, sort of a subcommittee of the GNSO Council. Any selection we make for any role, I think the GNSO Council has to approve. Okay, so right now we have a couple of ideas that we need somebody that can write well and is also intelligent, which is always a good criteria. And then probably is somebody very, very familiar with the GNSO Council, maybe a former council member. My suggestion was that we leave this to the leadership team on the GNSO Council, but that doesn't seem to carry, that there's some opposition to that because we don't know what the workload is here. And Maxim is suggesting that we ask for inclusion of letters of support from GNSO bodies as an additional selection criterion. That's not a, that's probably a good idea, especially for this role. I think if we get more input from the SOs and the constituencies, or stakeholders, SGs and the constituencies, then that would be helpful. Let me make a note of that. Any other thoughts? And the NCA, we'll make sure the NCA's count. Or is there? There's no reason the NCA would not count as a virtual body in this scenario, would there? Is there, Marika?
Sorry, Susan, just getting off mute. What was your question?
So we were talking about Maxim's suggestion was to get support from each of the SGs or constituencies on these, or maybe just keep it to SG level, I'm not sure, on the proposed candidates for this role so that we ensure that if this was not a current GNSO council member, that they actually had the backing and support of the SG that they are affiliated with. And so we don't run into a problem with non-affiliation. And but then Yolf was saying, as long as the NCA counts as a virtual body. So.
Yeah, this is Marika. I'm wondering if you're already going too far into the weeds and whether it will be easier to first take it up, back to the higher level. And I noted in the chat as well where you first may need to have a conversation around indeed whether the chair is the default or the backup, because I think that will then determine as well what kind of process you need to run and as well what the criteria need to be. And also I think in light of what the role is, it may be helpful to first talk about indeed, so what is actually required from this person. So indeed, what are the criteria? And then I think from then you can then deduct indeed, is it important that there is a GNSO affiliation? And if so, what does that need to look like? Is that indeed someone that's a council member, has been a council member, is a member of a stakeholder group or constituency, has been a nominating committee appointee in the past to the GNSO. So, again, I think you may want to start at the higher level and then may make it easier to actually, because it looks like we're already starting to talk more practicalities. You know, do we need a letter? Who can submit a letter? On whose behalf? But I think we may first need to get agreement around the bigger concept. And that may make it easier then to fill in the details of how that would work in practice, if I can make that suggestion.
Okay, so actually, this is Susan for the record. So that is a good suggestion that we back up a little bit here and get out of the weeds. So, Marika's question then is, in reading of this bylaw section she has up, is this really a role for the chair, or should we allow a backup and pick someone else? I mean, we could come back with a recommendation to the GNSO Council that this should always be the chair, and it is just one of the responsibilities the chair must assume, and that there would be no other person designated to this, it's always the chair, or should we come back to the, are you of the viewpoint that, there should be an allowance to, select another person to fill this role? So, there's support for the chair by Renata, and the chair would be an emergency intervention, and then we also have the okay. You put up some questions here, and Marika, please go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, just getting off mute. This is Marika. So what may also be helpful, and I think we did list some examples in which cases the representative is expected to ask to act, and the question was raised as well. It's not clear yet what kind of workload that will entail. So what may be helpful as well is if we try to list in a more clear way, what are those occurrences for which the EC admin is expected to act? Because I think, indeed, it's not clear at this stage if that is a question of something happening once a month, once every 6 months, once every year, every week. And I guess, part of in order to run any kind of assessment, it's something that would need to be provided to any candidate, whether it's the GNSO chair, the vice chairs, or anyone else. It would be important to be able to communicate what this role is expected to entail. So it may be helpful if we from a staff side go back and try to list what are those specific actions and what is the likelihood of those happening. Because, for example, I think one of the actions that may happen is in relation to the budget. So presumably the likelihood of that happening is, only once a year. And again, the question is, it's basically, I think, in relation to rejection of the budget. So I guess an estimation or a guess of it would have to be made. How likely is that to happen? Is it very likely? So would it happen every year, or is it more something that may happen, once every 5 years? So again, maybe in that way, it may be easier as well to have a conversation around, does it make sense indeed to kind of appoint someone completely separate, because it may indeed increase the workload of a chair or vice chairs to add this to their already very heavy plate, or whether it's something that it's more of an add-on because it's not expected to be invoked on such a regular basis. I don't know if that is helpful, but it's something we could definitely try to do.
I definitely, this is Susan for the record, I definitely feel like that would be helpful. And so it would give us some more understanding of what we're recommending to ask from this role, and therefore the person who fills it. It looks like we're running out of time here. We've only got a minute left. So we'll need to do a doodle poll for the next call, which we need to get these recommendations to the GNSO Council in the next few weeks so that, you know, I think we have a June 17th deadline for any sort of motion. So it'd be good if we gave ourselves several more opportunities to discuss this once we get more information. We'll also have some feedback from the GNSO Council meeting on Thursday. So can we run a doodle poll for to have a meeting again next week? Is that possible, Marika?
Is Marika? Yes, we can definitely get that set up.
Okay, so I feel like I've learned something here today, and I appreciate all of your input, Marika, and the staff in general. I did read all of this, but it's sort of in the discussion we've had today, it's definitely come up with some different points of view. So I appreciate I appreciate everybody's time today, and it looks like the consulate has said we should have a time like we did today, so we might want to put that on the list. And Marika, is your hand up for another point?
I was just wondering, on consulate's suggestion, if we could see a quick show of hands whether the same time and day works, we could even lock it in now if people like this time slot. We can maybe ask people to put a green check mark if this time slot works for you next week. And if not, of course, we can still do a doodle poll.
Maxim said it's a bad time for him.
Okay. So I know that several people have indicated that, for some a good time slot, but not necessarily next week. So we'll just get a doodle poll going for next week with, this time included, but also some other options. So hopefully we can find a time that works and day that works for everyone.
Okay, that sounds good. And we're over time, so we should conclude the call. But I really appreciate all the thoughts that went into this today. And we'll wait to see the doodle poll, and we'll talk again next week.
Thanks, all.
Thanks,
bye.
All.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Thank you. Again, the meeting has been adjourned. Operator, please stop the recordings for us and dismiss all remaining lines.